This is Congressman Lee Zeldin reminding you all to keep your radio to 103.9 LI News Radio for the biggest stories from across the island.
Indeed, Lee Zeldin, you know him well, as far as presiding over the first congressional, also making a run for the gubernatorial post. That'll be next year. And we welcome him, playing a little catch-up. Sir, how are you? Good to have you back.
Always great to be with you, Jay.
You know, today's a big day. Is it a given, Congressman, that Liz Cheney is out? The number three House Republican we're talking about to be, expected at least to be ousted from her position as the chair of the House GOP conference when the body meets a little later on today to vote on her fate. Is that a 100% given in your estimation?
As close as you can get towards predicting something like that and guaranteeing something like that, I believe that the answer is yes, but this is politics. This is Washington. We'll see. You can never say 100% until it actually happens. The House Republican Conference meets in 19 minutes here at the top of the hour at 9 a.m., and we'll see how it goes. But I would say that it's highly likely that at some point within the 9 a.m. hour that she'll be removed as the House Republican Conference Chair.
I said this yesterday, and it's kind of, you know, the silent fact. A lot of people might not think about this with Dick Cheney and everything else, as he was to GW way back in the day. But when you look at her, at his daughter, you know, and listen, she could be getting some of the plays from the sideline regarding this stuff, you know. But she gave a very defiant speech last night on the House floor, and really kind of, I mean, I'm sure it's not a surprise to men about you, but she shamed a lot of colleagues who will vote to strip her of her post, calling the former president's hold on the party a threat America has never seen before, kind of paraphrasing someone here. What about what she had said last night on the floor, Congressman?
Well, Liz is eagerly going along with the national media narrative that this is all about Donald Trump. And that's unfortunate because she knows and the rest of the conference knows well what this is actually about, is that when you're the conference chair, it's never all about you. And while it's a great trait to be in the conference chair position, thinking 20, 30, 40 moves ahead at any given time, those are moves that you would want to consult with the House Republican Conference, that you would want to hear their input, that the conference decisions on a whole wide range of issues would be a product of the conference working together. So if you really want to get to the heart of what this is actually all about, and I was in the room for the hours of the conference at the beginning of February, where the vote was taken to keep her in the position, nothing has changed as far as that being the heart of what the issue is. There are a lot of members who spoke up that day and they weren't expressing an issue with her vote on impeachment, for example. They had an issue with her not giving the conference a heads up in advance, that she put out a strongly worded national statement and didn't give the conference a heads up. You know, if I was in that position, I would have released a statement to my own district back home in Wyoming rather than making a big splash 24, 48 hours earlier that will have me featured on the by House Democrats on the floor and Senate Democrats during the at the House impeachment managers over on the Senate floor. So that's really what the main issue is here. But the media what CNN's take might be on it today is not what's actually happening behind closed doors.
Which is an excellent point, because, and I was speaking to this privately with some people yesterday, you know, sometimes the media is our own worst enemy in this country, depending on who you watch, right? Because, you know, we talk about divide and everything else. Well, in my estimation, I've said this forever, the media is a major component as far as why there is such division in this country. And that is because of information. It's not accurate in so many senses. You get a sense of that as well, right?
Yeah, I actually can't believe just how much that certain media outlets deliberately dumb down their audience, and it's such a disservice to the public, where they have a life and a job. They get home after a long day. Some people working two different jobs, they want to get caught up on the news, and you turn on Don Lemon at 10 o'clock on CNN, and 7 minutes later, you actually know less than you did when you turned it on in the first place, but you don't know that because you know, they tell you it in a way that sounds very convincing, but you know, a lot of it is geared towards getting your blood pressure boiling. Websites will put headlines on the stories in a way to generate hits and clicks because that's how they get paid. It's about the business model. And unfortunately, and you know, this isn't an issue when you get into some of the local media like you know Jay Oliver in the morning on LI News Radio, but some you know, it's very different between Jay Oliver in the morning on LI News Radio and Don Lemon, CNN at 10 p.m.
And that's how I appreciate your reference. But, you know, that's what fuels me every day to do this thing because of what I see in the media. It's deplorable. It's not like it was. You know, and that's why I wanted to get into the business because as it changed and everything else, you know, it fueled me even more to get it right. I think I owe that to an audience of wherever I preside over. Here on Long Island especially, people expect the truth, and I try and give them the truth, good or bad. And that's what I live on, you know, as well, far as the morals gets it.
Yeah, and I mean, and on that point is you put out facts and you put out opinion. And when you're giving your opinion, it's clear that you're giving your opinion. I mean, I've been on with you so many times. I've heard you when I'm not on air. And that is one of the really unfortunate blurring of lines that you'll see, especially on national cable news when you get into the editorial content and programming in the evenings. And for example, that's not the only example. But what they do is they blur the opinion and the fact where they state opinion as fact. I mean, I remember being on Erin Burnett on CNN, and you know, she's giving me a hard time saying that, and basically trying to fact check me live on air that Peter Strzok was only involved in the Hillary Clinton email probe and had nothing to do with the Michael Flynn investigation or the Trump Russia probe. And if you're listening to the audience, if you're in the audience listening to her show, and you're a loyal viewer, you respect her, you trust her, you would think that I was wrong, that I was saying something that was not true, and that Erin Burnett was fact-checking. And, you know, of course, sure enough, what you find out in the months and years later is that Peter Strzok was the one who was actually interrogating Michael Flynn during the investigation and was involved in the Trump-Russia probe as well. But, you know, that it comes out as – so it's supposed to be an opinion. It's her opinion. She believes. Her understanding is X. But you say it as a fact-check – And you say it like it's black and white, and unfortunately for the audience, they get dumbed down.
No question. You brought her up, and I'm doing a whole show next week on this stuff, and I can give you a half an hour on Erin Burnett alone. It's despicable, really. It was Lee Zeldin with us, Congressman out of the first. Besides the Liz Cheney stuff, you got another interesting happening here with the Big Four. Nothing worse, in my opinion, than being in a room with people you do not like or respect. You're going to have that today in the White House with Kevin McCarthy, with Mitch McConnell, with Nancy Pelosi, with Chuck Schumer. And let's face it, it's going to be a little uncomfortable, I think, for many. But you get one of those days where all four visiting the president. What do you expect out of this?
Well, I'll tell you what you shouldn't expect is what we saw during the Trump administration where the goal of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the room with President Trump was to find that viral moment to play along with this pledge to resist, impeach, obstruct, oppose. It's okay for there to be disagreement on ideas. And when you meet on an infrastructure bill, there's going to be disagreement. If you're going to meet on any type of a big bill at this part of the process, it's okay for there to be disagreement and for debate. But what you won't see is, I mean, you know, people remember that photo where you know Nancy Pelosi is standing up and pointing her finger at the president inside the cabinet room. You're not going to see that. I mean, Kevin McCarthy is going to, you know, he has his views on policy. They're not the same as where Joe Biden is, and it's good that they meet and they talk through it. But knowing Kevin McCarthy well is that when he's in that room, his goal is going to be to debate where there is disagreement, what can we do to move through it to try to find common ground? We have our position, you have yours, and is there a way to find common ground that makes sense that will move our country forward? What I don't expect is anything like the theatrics of, you know, Kevin sharing some picture afterwards of him standing up and pointing his finger in the president's face and trying to, you know, embarrass him to, you know, to get extra social media views. I think it's going to be about policy.
No question about it. And hopefully they'll stick to that. A lot to be discussed, no question. Lee Zeldin with us. You know, I've said this all along regarding John Kerry. I think he's one of the biggest frauds out there. And I say that in a lot of ways over the years. And this latest thing with Iran, I mean, come on. Can it get any lower for an individual of his magnitude, if true, regarding secrets and everything else exchanged? Now, he is testifying today. Do I have that right, Congressman?
That's right. It's a busy morning. So after this House Republican conference at 9 a.m., at 10 a.m., I will be with John Kerry at the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and I will be asking him questions on this topic.
Well, I'll tell you, don't give away any questions yet, but the way I feel about John Kerry, it's enough to make me see red, and I am not talking to Heinz Ketchup here. So I know you will be doing a big-time job. Now, border crisis, I only got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to fast forward here. Border crisis. I mean, the pictures are there. The video is there. The kids in the field, 100-degree temperatures in Texas, if not for one of the farmers spotting them and saving lives. I mean, it can't get any worse. You know, even with Kamala's visit sometime the next year, who knows when, as far as overseeing this and give us a report and a press conference, please. But, I mean, can it get any worse for this administration? This is at the top of the charts for me.
Yeah, I would say that it's highly likely that it will continue to get worse. And the reason is that they haven't even yet confronted reality. And if you want to turn things around, the first thing that you need to do, step number one, is ID what the issue is. And then you could go to the next part of what are you going to do about it. But here they're stuck between two different false narratives. One is there is no crisis. And two is that there is a crisis and it's all Trump's fault. And what that second part means, it goes more than just blaming and partisanship and name calling. It's actually it has consequences when you look at policy. If you think that this is a crisis and it's all Trump's fault, then you think it's the Trump policies that caused the situation at the border. And everybody knows that there's a crisis, and it's caused by the policies and the statements of the Biden administration. They started on day one. They stopped construction of the border wall. They're pursuing a path to citizenship for everybody who's not here in the country legally. They're releasing people into the country without court dates. They're putting up in hotel rooms some of the people illegally crossing. They want to have the spigot flowing to sanctuary city and states. They stopped deportations as soon as they came in, and the list goes on. And it's the wrong message that's getting sent, started during the campaign. And until you realize that there is a crisis, you understand what's causing it, then you can actually turn things around. But the way we're going and just kind of, you know, quietly underneath the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, you click your heels together and you pray that this magically will go away. That's not going to work.
Only got time for one more, and that is how is everything going regarding the gubernatorial run and everything else? We heard Astorino has thrown his name again into the ring. Maybe Mark Molinaro, even Rudy's son might be making play. How is it going? I know you're doing a lot of research. You got a ton of endorsements. You got to be happy so far, I would think, right?
Absolutely. Everybody all over the state is hungry. It's a last stand. It's a last great opportunity to save our state. We're getting support from all across New York. I just got back from my fifth statewide campaign swing this past weekend from Friday to Monday, and we're just going to continue hustling. I love the energy that's out there. People understand the stakes. My message is don't leave yet. Just stay here with us, and if you love New York, you believe that we can turn things around, you understand that November 8th, 2022 is that next big shot to do something about it, on that day, we can restore political balance and geographic balance in the state. So folks are hitting their breaking points and leaving. Fortunately, there are millions of New Yorkers who are still here willing to fight, and they want to restore New York to glory, and it's not just Republicans. This isn't red on blue, Republican on Democrat. There are a lot of Democrats who are concerned about our economy, our public safety, our education, our freedoms, the corruption in the governor's office. So it's what we need is a big tent and everybody joining together to work as hard as we can, taking nothing for granted for the next year and a half, and doing everything in our power to make sure we win the race. So this is right now, this right here, this moment is the lowest gear I have. We all just need to kick it up every day, working harder to turn things around.
Well said. You got a big day. We look forward to that. And results are always a pleasure to have you know that.
You got it. Take care. Have a great day.